Okay. Well, get myself together.
Yeah.
Namaskar, kindred spirits. So happy to have you here today and to talk about Kundalini Yoga and what it means to us and what it could mean to you. So I'd like us to begin, everyone, for everyone to close their eyes, unless you're driving. So please don't do that if you're driving. You can come off to the other side of the road or practice this later. That's fine. So for everyone else, just close your eyes. Find that length in your spine. Open your heart and chest. And just bring your awareness to your breath. Just observe your breath. Don't change it in any way. Just become aware of the feeling and the sensations of your breath as you inhale and exhale. Maybe notice if you're breathing into your chest or into your belly. Is your breath long and deep or quick and fast? Again, no judgment, just be aware of your breath. How does it feel right now in this moment? Now I'd like you to deepen your breath, inhaling deeply into your belly, filling your belly. On that same inhale, allowing the rib cage to expand outwards, lifting up to the collarbones, keeping that length in your spine. Exhale all the way down, down to the root chakra. Contraction of the belly button to spine, empty, empty, empty. And we'll do this two more times. Deep inhale all the way up, growing taller. And exhale all the way down, contraction of the belly, empty, empty, empty. One more time, deep inhale. And full exhale. And then return to your natural soft breathing. And just gently open your eyes to the more present you, the more aware you. Wonderful. So today we would like to talk about Kundalini. And maybe many of you have been to a Kundalini class or have tried one or have heard about it, or maybe you practice Kundalini regularly. Either way, many questions may arise, and we hope to answer some of these today with our special guest, Satya, teacher and master of Kundalini Yoga. Satya and his wife, Navkiran, live together with their two children as close neighbors by us. And we've really enjoyed them having them as neighbors. We've enjoyed their classes and we've shared our classes of yoga with horses with them. Excuse me. And from the beginning, I was really very drawn to their energy and the light of love and compassion that really just emanates brilliantly around them. It's really just something wonderful to be in their presence. And I think we'll give you a little, why is that maybe? Why is their presence and their light and their energy so beautiful to be around? And I think we'll find some answers to that with our class on Kundalini Yoga today. So during this podcast, we hope to clarify what is true Kundalini Yoga and its purpose compared to what sometimes one can see or practice in the West. And this is without judgment or critics, it's just for clarification. So Satnam, Satya. Welcome to our podcast today. So glad to have you here.
Satnam, Terry, thank you for that beautiful introduction. I have to say that I'm drawn to your energy as well. You have a beautiful energy, and all the experience with your horses and everything that you do is so beautiful. I recall this memory of a few months ago when you invited us to your place there and have this wonderful time with the horses. It was something very unique for me, and I know Napkira, my wife, also experienced it because there's this kind of resonance that start vibrating between the horses and you as a human, where you have to choose. You have to take a decision of being totally present with the energy of the horse or be against it. So it's a really intricate thing that happens in the mind and in the energy that give you that chance of being very present. So if anyone have the chance to experience meditation or being near horses like the ones that Terry has, I think it's a gift. It's something where you can learn a lot. For
Thank
sure, the
you.
horses have a very beautiful, wisdom, energy, spirit. It's something very unique, and I could understand it better that time when you shared that space with us. Thank you for that.
No, it was really with pleasure. I love to share. Our horses love to share too. They like that vibration. So often humans are just doing things with their horses, competition and riding. And while all that can be, if it's properly done and humanely done with compassion and love can be beautiful. It's also just being in the presence of horses, and that can be enough for the healing process to happen. So, Satya, I would love you if you could tell us a little bit about your journey and Navkiran's journey, through what brought you to Kundalini, your experience of it, anything you'd like to share with us, just so the listeners can get to know you a bit more.
Well, that's it could be a very long story.
I'm sure.
I will try to kind of summarize in a more, rational way at the beginning, at least. You know, my experience, I started my life like anyone else, you know, like growing in a big city, middle class family, that they both parents work. And I got lucky enough to have, you know, good studies in good schools and so on. But my life was really trending into, you know, the typical thing, and I actually got involved in all the typical things about studying and career, and I study actually business and marketing. And I was involved for that in that path for many years, really, with a really successful career for my age. But since I was very young, very early age, I remember now more than before, since I started doing my own spiritual path, I remember myself being very aware of the surroundings and the energies. I was very sensitive to things that were happening around me. But since no one really understood that type of experience that I was having since early ages, I, like everyone else, you know, you started learning things and trying to fit in society and family things. And so that's what I did. And so I started doing everything that I was supposed to do. And I started studying and then working in international companies, big corporations, doing my own career. And everything was seemingly perfect, you know, everything in the career, everything in my life was in place. I was having everything I was supposed to have. And actually, I got married at that time, when I was 20, 27, around that time. Well, I have to say that I'm from Chile, by the way. So my English is not, you know, the most perfect one, but I know I can explain my ideas. And so I got married. I did everything that I was supposed to do at that time. But around the age of 30 and a little between 30 and 33, I start experiencing a very deep crisis in my life. It was such an unknown thing that was happening within myself that I didn't know what was happening. I thought I was a little crazy or very depressed. And so I tried to find help through different paths, you know, psychologists, and tried to understand what was happening, talking to friends and family. It seems like nothing was really letting me understand what I was going through. So after some time of trying to figure this out and try to, you know, come back to my normal life at that time, I received this deep, deep feeling that I needed to make a tremendous change in my life. I didn't know what was that or how I was supposed to do it. The only thing that happened within myself is that I was very sad, very depressed. I was not feeling connected with the life I had, although I had everything. You know, I have a great house, a good career, cars, and whatever the idea of society at that time. And so I enter into this path of like, okay, I will let everything go. And that was very deep, because at that time I was married, and I decided that I couldn't continue my marriage at that time. And I decided to sell everything I had. So I, at that time, I planned my life to change maybe after a year or so. So I started planning to sell my properties, my car, my things. I got divorced and so on. Not knowing what I was doing, really, but I knew I needed to go and walk around the world and try to figure out what is the purpose of my life and why I feel the way I feel. So by doing that, after a certain period of time, I got together with Napkiran, my current wife, that I knew her from before, from early years when I started working. But I haven't seen her since then, maybe around 10 years or more. And I started talking to her, and she already went through a similar process a couple of years before me. And so I had all this plan about traveling around the world, and I was really excited about finding someone that was resonating with my path and actually was a little further in the process than I was. I was still in a very deep depression. I remember crying most of the time, not knowing anything, praying to God that I didn't know what was that I was praying to, but that was the only thing I could do at that time. And so the time went by, and I had this plan about traveling the world. And so when I needed to start my journey, I invited Napkiran to the journey. I said, Napkiran, why don't you join me and travel the world and let's figure out more about everything that I don't know. So she said immediately yes. And so that was kind of the beginning of our journey together. And the first place where we went was India. Because in a sense, she was pushing me a little to go, but I knew I wanted to go to that country. And so we went there. We planned to be there for a couple of weeks. We ended up staying for about 4 months, and we traveled around India in different places, different areas of it, trying to find a little more of, you know, the ancient wisdom. At the beginning was a little difficult because we didn't know much about India, and really the ancient wisdom is not in the tourist areas. And to get involved with all of that, really you need to dive deep and ask a lot of questions and follow your intuition and so on. So at that moment, Napkiran, my wife, was already a Kundalini teacher. So before traveling to India, I had practiced quite frequently with her for the first time. And every time I entered those classes that she was teaching, I always experienced something very profound in myself, especially peace, because my life and my mind was very crazy at that time. So that was really intriguing for me. And so when we were traveling in India, one of the things we wanted to encounter was, you know, more about the ancient wisdom of Kundalini Yoga. Mm-hmm. And we started asking around, you know, asking people, yogis, you know, and no one seems to know. Even if you ask Kundalini Yoga, like people, even the yogis there didn't really, most of them, at least the ones we started talking at the beginning, knew about it, or they didn't want to talk about it. That's another thing. So in that search, we traveled to different places. We went for a while into the south of India to the ashram of Amma, the Hugging Mother, a very beautiful woman. I don't know if you know her.
Wonderful.
And we stayed there with her for a few weeks, you know, understanding everything that she was doing. It was a very profound experience. But no Kundalini anywhere. And so finally, when we were, I think, was in Rishikesh, we found an ashram that says that they were teaching Kundalini Yoga. And so we went there for like a week to have like a sort of immersion in Kundalini Yoga. But since the first day, we realized that the Kundalini Yoga they were teaching was taught by a person from the US, but it was not really the ancient sort of thing that we wanted to find.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a great experience, and Rishikesh is a wonderful place to visit. And so we had a lot of great experience and fun there. But at the end, we went to Varanasi. We thought, you know, Varanasi is the most ancient city everywhere that in the world still going on, more than 5,000 years. And we said, okay, if there's knowledge of Kundalini Yoga, someone might know around there. We went there, we couldn't find anything, and we started talking with the sadhus, you know, these guys that are painted and these yogis mm-hmm. that sits there and basically don't do much. We tried to talk to them. And I remember that one of the sadhus there, when I saw directly into his eyes, I asked him, do you know anything about Kundalini Yoga? And he like kind of moved a little bit. and moved to the side. And I thought, okay, he's asking me to sit next to him. So that's what I did. I just sit next to him and I started to meditate or close my eyes. So I started feeling the energy of this guy. I was already kind of sensitive to energy. In India, I also did my Reiki master. I did all the levels and so on at that time. So I knew about energy, and it was a very intriguing experience because I kind of felt it that I was drawn into like a sort of vortex or something that was happening within me when I was sitting next to him. And at that time, I didn't realize. I realized this a long time after. I recall the memories. I did have a sort of download of information but while I was sitting next to him. And I didn't put much attention at that time. But coming to, you know, more to the present, after all that journey in India, then we traveled to Indonesia and Thailand and other places, always trying to look for different spiritual things. It was not only about Kundalini yoga. But when we came back to Chile, the country where I was born, we went to live in a very small town, and we decided that we didn't want to have like a luxury life or at least a stressful life. And so what I did mostly was to meditate and do Kundalini yoga with my wife. And at that time, when I started meditating, I was very regular in my meditation. I meditate maybe 2-3 times a day for at least 30 minutes, 60 minutes. I dedicate a lot to meditation. I started recalling memories, like I start having insights and downloads of things, different sort of things, information that it didn't make much sense at the beginning. It was about, you know, how the body works, the energy works, and intuitively. So I started playing with that. I started realizing that I had the capacity to play with the energy more than I was taught in Reiki and other things. And that was really beautiful. I started opening to do healing, and the healing sessions were very powerful. And so after a few years from that point, I decided to study Kundalini yoga. I remember I received that in a meditation, like, you should study Kundalini yoga. And I recall that in that meditation, I was supposed to ask a friend that wasn't a Kundalini teacher at all, but a very close friend. So I asked her, you know, I had this call about studying Kundalini yoga. And in that message, I received that I should ask you about this. I know you don't study, or you haven't studied, you don't practice Kundalini yoga. And she's like, very interesting. Last week, I just got a business to help with the online marketing of one of the biggest schools of yoga in South America, that is a Chilean one. And I'm like, okay. And she said, well, the owner is a Kundalini yoga teacher. And one of the main things that they teach is Kundalini. They teach Ashtanga, Iyengar, and Hatha, and so on, but also Kundalini. So I was, okay, that's the way to go. So I went and met this guy that is called Jaidev. And immediately I had like a very profound, very, you know, beautiful connection with him. It was not the type of, you know, yogi that I was having in my mind, like maybe the type of yogi from India, but he had something very special. And by the time that I started meeting him and talking to him, I realized that he might have not been the teacher that or the yogi that I was looking in India, but he had spent at that time about 20 years of traveling to India to find the roots of Kundalini yoga. And every year he went for a few months just to go around everywhere, you know, and try to find the roots. So he started telling me all the stories and the search and how many experiences he had with, you know, hidden yogis in the Himalayas that teach Kundalini yoga or the ancient type of Kundalini yoga. And he was telling me, you know, that he's a very powerful guy. He'd been practicing, you know, Kundalini yoga for a long time. And he said that when he went to these caves to practice with these yogis, the first day, he started feeling really weird. Like there was a rush of energy that he didn't know how to deal with. And he wanted to stay there. But by the second to third day, he felt that he was losing his mind. And he was actually not doing that much. You know, it was basically sitting around this cave with these yogis that were chanting and doing certain pranayams and certain things that he didn't understand, although he studied the Occidental Kundalini Yoga. He was feeling so weird and so strange that he said, you know, if I don't stand up right now, I think I'm going to lose it. And so he did the best to stand up and say, you know, Satnamo or whatever he wanted at the time to say. And he rushed out and started practicing his way of Kundalini Yoga to try to balance and get into place. So I knew he was the right guy to study. And so I studied the Kundalini Yoga by Yogi Bhajan with him several years ago. And it was a really beautiful experience. To summarize this, because I know I have taken a long time, but I wanted to express a little bit of the story. There's a lot of more details into this, but one of the things that I immediately started feeling with Kundalini Yoga was the capacity to take me out of that depression, take me out of anxiety, take me out of any sort of emotion that was stuck there that didn't let me feel free or feel in peace. And that was one of the main reasons why I wanted to study it, because although I knew how to work with energy, and I still do, and actually I think the capacity of me as a healer have increased dramatically because of the Kundalini practices, there was something very unique in the energy I was feeling connected with Kundalini. So anyway, I studied and I started practicing for myself. And then through the practice of this Kundalini that I was taught, I started, you know, remembering this story about the sadhu and started remembering the things that I kind of felt it and downloaded at that time. And many other moments in my life where I could see myself receiving in information, intuitive information, and kind of making a puzzle out of it. So, you know, telling this brief story is just to say that, in a sense, you know, I studied the typical Kundalini yoga that everyone can access in the Western hemisphere, but there is something that grew within myself that it's more of an ancient style of Kundalini yoga or yoga or you know, ancient science that somehow was embedded in my system, or I received
it. That's exactly what I felt when I went to your classes. There was a very different energy compared to other classes I've been to. And that intrigued me a lot. There's something, yes, you're drawing on that ancient wisdom.
Yeah, and I think that's a thing that I didn't know at the beginning. You know, this is a reflection like you do to me, that it had happened many, 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 many times with different people that come to our classes. You know, the typical story we get with Napkiran is like, oh, I did have classes of Kundalini yoga. I didn't like it or I like it. You know, there's love and hate into this. That's another story we can dive why so. But and so when people started coming to our classes, a lot of them said, you know, oh, wow, I experienced something that I never experienced before, even if I have, you know, done Kundalini yoga for a long time or maybe a few classes.
And
you know what is involved in that, at least from my perspective, is that I didn't I didn't get into the box of Kundalini yoga, at least in the style of the Western. You know, I there's a thing that arises within myself that is, you know, a kind of like a pure energy. And that's the idea of Kundalini yoga. Mm-hmm. You know, that the idea or the aim of Kundalini is that you awaken a certain energy within you that is called the Kundalini. There is a spiritual energy that in the modern times is the Christ consciousness, you can say. You know, it's the same. It's one and the same. It's just that at that time Christ was not on earth, so, you know, other names, other things. But and so what happens in my path was that I awaken the energy, the chakti, letting it be free in the process. So I did it in my own way. You know, in Kundalini yoga, taught, you know, in the West, there's certain structure of things. You know, you need to do 40 days of this or 1,000 days of this practice, this kriya. And there's a lot of, you know, ideas and concepts of how to awaken the spiritual energy. And I think, and that's, this is my overall, you know, approach to it, is that it has been too much of a mindset, you know, a mind kind of path. So a lot of masculine energy in it. Yes. And not so much of the feminine energy. And this is a contradiction because, you know, Kundalini in itself is a tantric practice. And tantra means, you know, the interwoven of the feminine and masculine to neutralize the inner polarities so you can awaken this path that gives you the enlightenment. Mm-hmm. And so there's always this very subtle movement between, you know, in Kundalini yoga, between doing the practices, the samskaras are very intense and very, you know, strong, but at the same time having this inner space where you feel open, loving, you know, gentle with yourself. Mm-hmm. So there's a very, you know, very precise, you know, point there where we have to find that inner balance. And so in a way, what happened to me, that's what I can explain, is that I let this process happen in a more free way than usually the way it's taught. And I think that is one of the aspects. The other one is that I have intrinsically a lot of bhakti energy, you know, devotional energy. And I think that's also something very important in the spiritual path. No matter if you study Kundalini or any yoga, you know, all yogas go to the same place. It doesn't matter what type of yoga you study at the end, the ultimate goal is to unify. And so devotion is a very important aspect of this. And if you want to work with the chakti, that is this, you know, active energy, the way to channel that energy is bhakti too. You know, there needs to be a little bit of devotion into the process and surrendering into the process. So it's not all about like pushing and pressing and moving the energy like, you know, a lot of people do nowadays with Kundalini. There's these powerful Kundalini people that move the energy through the body and people start shaking and doing things like that. In my perspective, it's not a healthy practice, although it can work and help in certain degree. It doesn't take you to the last, you know, the 10th gate, connection with the divine.
I think that was a little bit, I would say my reticence to seeing classes that were, for me, I think were not being held correctly, and it was not a safe spot for the students because too many things were happening that the students didn't understand it, and I don't felt the teacher was in control. And, you know, just having students come and students go, there is no follow through. And it's such a very personal and strong, powerful effect that it's really important to be under the guidance of someone that you can trust and feel safe with. I think it's a very important aspect. And I do see that in a lot of Western classes where that part of bhakti, that part of love and compassion is almost a little bit left out for that quick fix. You know, like the Westerners always want that quick reset button. Get me there fast. I want to be enlightened like now. Instead of letting that process and guiding that process to happen. And I think that's a little bit where maybe people have had some bad experiences in Kundalini. And I'd really like to be able to set that out there, that is not Kundalini done correctly. It's Kundalini should be under a guided, safe place with a teacher that you know and trust.
I totally agree with you, and I have experienced that, and I have seen that too. I understand the ancient way of the yogis and the gurus in India that says, you know, you need to practice these sort of powerful practices through someone that really can feel and understand and touch this energy in such a way that can be managed, you know, and I can understand that now. And so I totally agree that sometimes, you know, by, you know, following the rules and the book, there could be a process that in people that will need to have some like aim, like what was the word I wanted to say, like help or ease that energy. You know, when I'm teaching, and this is something that you probably also feel, you know, when you're connected in the flow of the class, teaching a class, if you're really present, and that's very important, you know, not being in the mind, it's in the flow of the energy that goes through the class. You can sense the group. You can sense each individual process at the same time. So we as teachers, we need to have certain level of mastery of how to deal with the movements of the energy of the group and individually as well, and mm-hmm. guide them. Mm-hmm. No, I sometimes change the, you know, if anyone has studied Kundalini Yoga, you will know that you have to follow the you know, very, very precise timings and things within the class. You know, you can't change anything. That's the rule. And if the ones that teach this hear me now, I will get in some problem for sure. But, you know, I have discovered, at least because of my wisdom or my inner experience, that sometimes you need to kind of adapt the process and the kriya through the group or the person. And that makes a lot of sense. No, but I understand why the typical class of Kundalini Yoga needs to have a certain process. And this is because most people are not taught or are not prepared to awaken their consciousness in such a way that they can manage and deal with these energies intuitively. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you try to go out of the very precise kriya and timings and things without having that connection, that could be a little more dangerous, actually, than even just following the rules. Anyway, that's more or less what I can share about my story with Kundalini Yoga. And so for me, it has been a life-changing experience. And I have seen so many beautiful things happening around this. You know, people that came with depression and they feel purpose in life again. People that, you know, they were using chemical drugs to balance the endocrine system, thyroid and things like that, that after a certain period of time, they start decreasing it until it just, they stop having those pills. And things like that can happen. Can happen with any practice of yoga if you're devoted to it. But this is what I have seen quite often in my practices. So I do believe strongly that, you know, by learning about yourself, learning about the ways the energy move, and this is the science of Kundalini Yoga, you know, it's the tantric science of how the energy move and how to move it in certain ways. So you regain not only a certain degree of mastery of your body and mind, but that also give you the capacity to self-heal. You know, I'm sure everyone have heard this idea that, you know, the body knows everything how to heal. And the only reason why it doesn't is because you have ideas in your mind, you know, beliefs and things that are
the right vibration.
Yeah.
Back in the density.
Exactly. So when we take out our mind of, you know, of all those biases and all those conflict and those vibrations and electromagnetism that are low and doesn't work properly in our body, then the body will naturally heal. And it's totally possible. I've seen it so many times.
Absolutely. That's wonderful. Something you mentioned about before that some, I thought maybe we could just touch that subject a little, is for some people who've been to some Kundalini classes and decided they didn't like it, or their difficulties, like with the arms being up for a long time and these things, what could you say to help people have a little bit more patience with that and the reason why, maybe?
Well, waheguru, I would say. That's an expression that we use a lot to say, you know, this is in the hands of God. And there's a process there. You know, yes, definitely in Kundalini Yoga, we can do a lot of things with hands and arms. And that usually for most people, especially women, can be a little more challenging. Yes. But not only that, you know, I remember when I was studying, and I have seen this in class as well, you know, there's a lot of men that can come that are very fit, even very, you know, sports. They do a lot of sports and so on. And I've seen this, and I always kind of laugh. I shouldn't, but internally I do so. It's just funny to see, you know, this very big guy with a lot of muscles open the arms and say, okay, I will do this. And start doing the breath and so on. Next to him, there's a very old lady that regularly practices, you know, Kundalini Yoga, but I'm talking like a skinny old lady. And so he started doing the thing, and suddenly he started feeling that he can't hold it anymore. And so he looks next to him, and the old lady is still like, no problem. And he's like, oh my God, start taking out of that. You know, the thing is, there's a degree of things that happens, you know. What I always say at the beginning in most of the classes, I say, you know, what you're going to experience is all about the limits of your mind. You know, it's never about the body per se, unless you have, you know, certain disease or certain pain or certain things, that accidents that you had in your body. It's always about the mind. So, you know, it's not that people can't really do this for like certain positions or movement with the arms for a very long time. It's more about the way you think about yourself. So, you know, it's, if you can't really hold it that much, it's not such a problem. You know, the body has a wisdom. And every time we do a practice in Kundalini Yoga, we have to try to get to the limits of our mind and body. And if it's possible, go a little beyond that. There's a great deal of energy that's going to be released and change if you do so. But if you can't hold it for a long time, you just don't do it. You know, your body and the practice, the Kriya in itself, will give you what you are capable of receiving. So the benefits of the practice will come to you even if you just did it for 30 seconds and you were supposed to do it for 30, because that's what your level is right now. So it doesn't matter if you stay for a very long time or not, as is taught in the class. But the important thing is that when you're having the struggles, you have to realize that the first thing that is happening, it's in your mind. It's your mind. Your mind is telling you, oh, I'm tired, I can't do it, this is impossible, why I listened to my friend to come to this class, what, this is not yoga, you know. All of those kind of thoughts are in the mind very fast happening. And those thoughts are the ones that are making your body weak, really. So if you have the capacity to observe the way your mind is behaving and keep the practice going, because usually it's with some certain pranayama, and you focus into the pranayama and you say, okay, I will listen to Satya, I will stay a little longer, more than my mind is telling me, there's always a breakthrough. You know, always there's a breakthrough. It can be just for maybe a second, 3 seconds, 5 seconds, where you stay more than you usually have done before. And there's a rush of energy. There's a change in the mind that actually most people, after that, you know, limit that they encounter in themselves, they feel stronger, and they can say after that, they say, oh, I can stay here for a very long time. So the beauty about going through these processes is that you are dealing with the same things that are outside of the class happening for you unconsciously. So, you know, we all want the life to change in certain ways. Some people want love, some people want prosperity or having this and that. And the reason why we're not happy is because, you know, we have certain thoughts, you know, certain limited belief about reality and about who we are. We have definitions. So when you are doing certain practices, and this is the tantric way of Kundalini Yoga, you know, and you can stay there, you can go beyond that experience, just even if it's a second, you're liberating those limited belief or those energies that are playing around in your life day to day. So when you just go through it for maybe a few seconds and you feel that rush or that change, then you maybe are not aware, but when you go out of the class, your life starts changing immediately because you did something very profound while you were in the class. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's why, you know, many people that have practiced, well, I will talk about Kundalini Yoga. I'm sure this happened also in other yogas as well. But in Kundalini Yoga, you know, people can see the people that usually practice like in a different sort of energy, with more radiance, we say in Kundalini Yoga. There's a shining energy that expands around us that definitely everyone can explore. It's one of the 10 bodies that we talk in Kundalini Yoga. And that is something that happened naturally. We refine our energy and we balance the polarity within. And so we get into a more neutral state of being. And that opens compassion. That's open wisdom. You know, everyone can be compassionate. Everyone can have wisdom. But for that to happen, we have to have inner peace. And that peace comes when we learn how to master our energy, so the polarity that, you know, builds through electromagnetism, all the life and everything in the Maya can neutralize inside of you enough so you can experience who you are. That is your natural self. Well, we call it Sat Nam, usually as a way of expressing it in Kundalini Yoga.
Okay, wonderful. That's really, really very interesting, all this. And I'd love to hear more. Satya, I think you wanted to share a little practice with our listeners today.
Definitely.
Okay.
I will share a practice that will take a few minutes. And as you said at the beginning, specifically in this practice, it's written down in the, you know, in the scripts that you shouldn't drive after doing this practice. Okay. So I will say that again, if you park in the side of, in the sideway just to listen to this podcast, don't do this practice if you need to drive. You know, I'm sure you could drive, but it's better not to.
You can do it later on when they get home. They can go through and watch it again.
Definitely. Well, you know, I choose this practice because it's fairly easy to remember the practice. So you can just maybe do it again and experience it in at home. It's fairly simple. And what it does is that it helps us to balance the metabolism of the body and also integrate the two hemispheres. So what it brings is an inner sense of peace. So, you know, if we're in life struggling and, you know, stressful and so on, this is one of the many practices that you can do to build up a peaceful inner experience. And so, well, the first thing we do, it's a mudra. That might be difficult at the beginning to do it, but it's very simple, you know? And the beauty about the mudras is that they work, you know, in the nervous system and in the brain in many different ways. It's very interesting to learn about this more. So the mudra, it would be the following. We're going to separate these two fingers, and then the thumb, we're going to open it out. You know, it's a little difficult to coordinate the brain. I know. It happens to me, but this is the idea, okay? You build up the mudra in this way. So the importance here is that the arms are stretched back parallel to the spine. So it opened the chest and the shoulder blades at the back tend to get together. Okay, this will help to have a stable core and also open the pathway of the energy to flow up. So the idea will be to have this mudra with the thumb pointing in next to your neck and head. So this will be the mudra we're going to use, okay? So what we're going to do, we're going to breathe in a certain pattern. The way to do it is that we're going to inhale in 10 distinctive strokes. So that means that we inhale a little bit and we cut the inhalation. Then we inhale and cut, and we do this 10 times. The tricky thing about the stroke breathing is that we have to try to find the volume of air that make all of the stroke equal in the amount of air you intake. But also at the same time, we need to fully use our capacity of the lungs. So we need to find not only the how much to equalize in each one, but also the total volume of the inhalation has to happen in our lungs. So that is something to practice, okay? And so we're gonna inhale in 10 strokes through nose. And let me change here the, so maybe you can hear better my breath. So the idea is to breathe in 10 strokes kind of fast. It's around 2 per second. So it's kind of like this. And then you're gonna hold it for about the same time, about 6-7 seconds. And then you're gonna exhale in 10 strokes. Empty the lungs and hold it for the same amount of time, about 6-7 seconds. And then we inhale again in 10 strokes. So the idea is that this practice should be done with a specific mantra. Yeah, I'm gonna play for just a couple of minutes, and then the mantra I will change a little bit. It will stop the mantra per se, and I will start playing the gong. Yeah, just to give a little bit of energy and push into the practice. And so just try to listen the mantra. The mantra, it's a very famous mantra from the Sikh religion that we use, that is at such, you got such, heavy such, Nanak te hosi, be such. The meaning of that mantra is very important in the tradition of the Sikhism and for us in Kundalini Yoga, because it talks about all the possible states of truth. What it means the following. It says truth in the beginning, truth throughout the ages, truth at this moment, and Nanak says this is true, this truth shall ever be. So it's about remembering that the truth is always eternal, past, present, future, and that is the meaning of this mantra. And so I will invite you now to get into a straight position, lift your chest a little bit, and place your hands in position in the mudra next to your body. Feel the opening of your heart, lifting your chest a little bit and bringing your chin in Jarandaravan. And we're going to have the eyes just a little bit open, 1/10, looking in the tip of the nose, and try to focus your attention in the tip of the nose. And when I tell you, you can start. Just exhale the air. And let's begin inhaling in 10 strokes. And then hold the breath in for about 7 seconds. And start exhaling in 10 strokes. And hold the breath out for 6 to 7 seconds. And then inhale again in 10 strokes and keep it going. Keep your focus in the tip of the nose. And do a complete breath, a yogic breath. Keep going. stay in the position and take a deep breath in and hold it. Close your eyes and roll them up to your crown, like trying to see through that 10th gate, your pineal gland, and apply a soft movement. And through nose, very slowly start letting go the air, empty your lungs, and stay there for just a moment until I tell you to inhale. Take a long and deep inhalation through nose. Keep rolling your eyes up and apply Moolavan Root Lock. And try to find that inner space of peace and light within you. And slowly, very slowly, and controlling that exhalation, exhale through nose and slowly bring your hands down. And just feel your body, your presence, your energy. Become familiar with the state you can feel, whatever it is. Just embrace that with pure love, being grateful for everything that you are, for everything that you experience. Understanding that the gift of life is the only thing that really matters. And that coming into this present moment, you can understand the importance of that gift, where you can find peace, wisdom, compassion. And very slowly start coming back to your body, opening your eyes.
Well, that was amazing. I just every time when I practice with you, when I've been into your classes a couple of times or followed different things, it's just in such a short time, I'm just amazed at the power of the energy, how it moves and what I'm feeling. It's just incredible. And I meditate a lot every day, all the time, and have different, many different experiences. But I just find this so incredibly powerful. And like you feel it right away, in even such a short time. That's pretty amazing. Thank you, Satya.
Thank you, Terry. I'm glad you had a nice experience. I hope the gong could be listened more or less well, you know, through the microphone and Zoom and all of that. But yeah, thank you.
And I hope everyone else out there has experienced or feeling. And if you're not, don't worry about that. It's with practice and with time. I am a yoga teacher and I practice and meditate all along. So I'm very sensitive to the energies and I feel them very strongly. And if you're new to the practice, you might not feel them so strongly at the beginning. Correct me if I'm wrong, Satya. But with your practice and your time, you will really feel a lot of these energies being released, changing, shifting within you. And it's such a beautiful practice.
I totally agree with you. You know, especially a practice like this is not necessarily a practice that beginners will immediately realize the change that happens. But, you know, these practices done in this way, they change the inner chemistry of the body. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that most people at the beginning, you know, when you're starting your journey to healing and being more in touch with yourself, you know, we're very disconnected, usually the mind from the body. So that's the normal case for most people, especially at the beginning. So sometimes we can't really realize the changes in the system, mm-hmm. but they happen. They happen. And that's the beauty about yoga, you know, in general, you know, this ancient wisdom, it have been proved through thousands of years. And now science just proved that this work. And so it's just about, you know, giving yourself time, compassion, practice, dedication, and everything will move into a positive, a more positive, expanded life. Yeah.
Beautiful. So for everyone listening, from August 10th to, what are our dates? Sorry, I got the dates wrong. In August anyways, we are having the Kundalini Immersion for a 10-day program with Satya, Navkiran, myself, and Johanna as your teachers. Satya and Navkiran will be the Kundalini teachers, and Johanna and I will be giving other classes of meditation and pranayama with the horses. But Satya, can you first explain to us a little bit about what you're teaching, or what are the students can expect to look for or enjoy and from this experience if they decide to join us?
Yeah, I think it would be a great experience for many reasons. First of all, I've done this sort of program before, and the experience have been really amazing. And it doesn't really matter if you are totally a beginner or you are experienced yogi in maybe in other traditions, even in Kundalini yoga. You know, I've done this course for hundreds of people before, and you know, from every avenue they come and have a wonderful experience. The idea of this Kundalini immersion would be to, first of all, give you a sort of rational explanation of what is Kundalini and how it moves and how it works, to have, you know, a basis in your mind, in your intellect, about how the energies are going to start moving. So I will give a sort of an explanation of what is Kundalini from the ancient scripts and the ancient knowledge. And we're going to take that into a process that will take a few days to work with. We're going to move that process of the Kundalini knowledge into the pranic body. In Kundalini yoga, well, in yoga in general, but in Kundalini yoga, we also talk about the pranic body. And it's a very important one, especially in this year. You know, in the tantric numerology system, if you sum the numbers of the year, you're going to go to the number 8. And in the science of Kundalini yoga and tantric numerology, the 8 is the pranic body. And so in a sense, one of the most important things that you can learn this year to, you know, achieve a healthy life and be in the best possible place is to master your pranic body. And one of the most relevant practices for that is pranayama, you know, but also, you know, the movement of the body and how you use the asana, how you use the mudras, how you use the mantras. All of those practices in yoga will bring you into a certain state to master this pranic body. And so what we're going to be diving deeper into is how the pranic body works in very different ways to move this spiritual energy that we call it Kundalini in the ancient scripts, because it's one of the first steps that we need to learn about ourselves is to relate with ourselves from the perspective of energy. The pranic body is all about energy. It's the life force that creates and sustains everything out in creation. So if we start understanding the notions of how this pranic body and energy moves in our body, then we can do something with it. If you don't know yourself from the perspective of energy, then you are going to just, you know, use your physical body. And that's one of the 10 bodies that we talk in Kundalini yoga. And there's many more also in other traditions. And so the idea will be to start learning about in more in depth about the pranic body and how it moves into your system in what is called the vayus, you know, the winds. And so there's, you know, in the Sanskrit and the yogi tradition, there's names for 10 of those vayus, and mostly are known 5 of them. And so the idea will be to understand about them, to play with them. We're going to do specific kriyas, specific pranayams, mantras. We're going to use all the technology available of Kundalini yoga and some other practices that I have learned through the years that will give us the possibility to connect with that force specifically. And so, for example, there's typical things that I always talk about that, you know, you have the prana that comes into your body and builds up, you know, part of who you are. And so the flow of this energy in different parts of your body have different names. and have different attributes as well. So, for example, most people in Western society, because of they are sitting all the time and the way they think and the programs they have in their minds, one of the things that is not working properly is the aspect of the apana, that is one of the values of prana. And so when the apana is not working properly, you can't really release things. Physically, you are constrained, you know, you can't go well to the bathroom, for example, but also works a lot in the mind. You know, if you don't have the apana working properly and flowing in accordance with the other ones, then you tend to have a mindset that can't change. You can't let go of old beliefs, ideas, even the wounds or the emotional baggage you have, you don't let it go because of not having a balanced apana. And so there's different things about this sort of understanding that if you know about it and you do the specific asana, kriya, breathwork, pranayama, you know, you move that energy and suddenly something shifts in your entire body. And so learning about this is, you know, a first step, but very deep step to change your life and get a better life. So we're going to go into these different days working in these different values, the five main ones, and learning and practicing techniques that you can take back home. And this is, I think, one of the good things about having this immersion is that you can apply this not only in this immersion that for sure it will shift things and you will experience enormous change, but you can take this wisdom with you and apply it through your life whenever you need it. If you need to, for example, learn new things, you need to work on more on the samana area. And so if you want to study something and you feel that you can get it in your mind, then there's certain places in the body that can work in the level of the mind, and so you enhance your capacity of learning. So there's so many different things that we can dive into. But also we're going to not only go in deep into the pranic body and how that works into awakening the spiritual energy of Kundalini, but we're also going to add up a little bit of white tantra practices that is part of the concept of Kundalini yoga. We didn't touch that in this interview, but the white tantra is an aspect of very ancient way of connecting with the tantra knowledge that brings out a very angelic, very elevated frequency, very refined frequency. And so when we start engaging with this tantric, white tantric knowledge and doing certain practices, there's a energy that builds in the group and in within yourself that really expand, and there's a huge radiance coming out of yourself. And we're also going to experience a little bit of that. So that could be a sort of a brief, very brief explanation, but I'm very open to, if there's more questions, you know, you can also send us the questions or we can get another podcast and, you know, with the question, go deeper into what it is.
Yes, that would be, and maybe a second podcast would be great. So yeah, so you've listened to Satya and everything that during your Kundalini practice, what you'll be learning and practicing and really taking home tools with you as well. And then for my part and Johanna, we will be giving you classes to go along with working with the pranic energy and the prana, our field, our energetic field, and how that vibration will also connect with horses. And being in the presence of horses, how it deepens the process of healing. They naturally, through their heart energy, their magnetic field of the heart, it changes the vibration and energy of our heart to more calm and peaceful. It increases dopamine within us. There's just incredible things that happen when we're in the presence of horses. So we'll be leading classes in meditation, mantra chanting, and pranayama with the horses for you to experience that. And during the 10-day retreat, the lodging, you'll have your lodging and classes, and we'll be serving fresh organic vegetarian meals by our chef. So it'll be a whole part of the process. What you eat is part of the process as well. What you experience, what you practice, and what you enjoy, everything will be there. And for those that are yoga teachers, certified yoga teachers through us or through anybody else, it doesn't matter. It will also count as CEs, which are continued education hours. Because yoga teachers, we all need to every year to apply new credited hours to our registration with Yoga Alliance. So it also, through this, you'll be able to gain those points as well. And yes, so for this, I did want to also add, sorry about that. I wanted to also let everyone know that has watched this podcast that we want to offer a 10% discount to our upcoming retreat. You just have to contact me in the YouTube or podcast and or other ways you're watching this on Instagram. In our bio, and also in the caption, we will put our website where you can go to for more information on the Kundalini immersion. There's a whole section on that. You can also contact us and let us know that you've watched the podcast and we can apply the discount for you. And if you have questions, please contact us too. I'm happy to answer questions. And so as Satya, he can also answer them if it's something really relative to Kundalini you would like to know more about. Anything. We are just open to all your questions. And let's see, what else did I want to say? So the dates are in August. I think I can't remember the date. Sorry, everybody. I think it's
I can't remember them either.
October 17 to 27. On our website, you'll find the dates. I can't bring it up in front of me right now. Sorry about that. But it is in August. It's limited space. We only have 12 spots for it, and we've already have certain spots booked. So if you're interested, we'll keep the discount open up until the beginning of July. So please contact us for information. Also in the bio and the caption, Satya is offering a free class link. So you can click on that link and it'll take you to a whole free class. And also if you're interested from that, you can also go, they have an online program for Kundalini online classes. You can also look into that if you want to start practicing Kundalini before coming to join us or just to continue at any rate. What else can I add here? I don't know. Do you have anything else you'd like to add, Satya?
Well, I would just recommend to experience this. I'm sure it will be something very unique for everyone. You know, coming to Costa Rica in itself is something very unique. Coming to the Caribbean of Costa Rica, it's something very unique and different from the rest of Costa Rica. Coming to your farm with the horses, you know, the surroundings, it's just something very unique. Experiencing Kundalini yoga with me and my wife in all of this is something very unique. So if you want to have like, those moments, those days that you can give yourself a very beautiful experience and probably something that will be marked in your life, giving you a possibility of changing, you know, certain things and learning new things, I think it's just a very beautiful moment to dive deep into a new experience. And I will be happy to be there for you all. Just take the decision, feel it and jump in.
I'd also add, like, because you talked about the energy of the place. And really, yes, the energy of Costa Rica. There are several places in the world, as we know, with specific energy. And there is a specific energy. I won't go into depth about that now. But in the Caribbean, even more so, we have very strong energy columns in different parts of this area that really, if there's a place to heal, if there's a place to create that awareness and that consciousness to a higher consciousness, there's not an easier place to access that energy than where we are right now. So, and then horses will have the support of the horses as well. So yes, we really do hope you come and join us and experience this with us together in this beautiful country, in this beautiful land that we have around us. And so for that, I wish you all a beautiful day and much love and light to all. Sat Nam.
Sat Nam.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for everything. I'm really happy for this moment. Thank you for the opportunity. And I hope to, well, see you soon, Terry, of course, and hope to see everyone else eventually in the near future. Sat Nam.
Sat Nam. Okay, well, that doesn't matter. This can get caught. I can't find my, where's my recording button? There we go. Stop.